we'll be ready to get right into the Word of God again. And it's such a joy, such a challenge, such a privilege to be able to open His Word. And I want to tell you that God is here and He wants to speak to us. And if only our hearts are ready to receive it. Rewards. Every time we think of rewards, it is money. And especially in today's world, it's getting tougher to make money. It's tougher to keep your jobs. Our money seems to be shrinking. I found that out this morning. I show you two $10 notes side by side, all right? It has shrunk, and I'm telling you this is a real $10 note, all right? But it has shrunk because I've left it in the pocket and it was ironed over, so the plastic shrunk. Now it's only worth $9.50. If any of you are interested, you can have it for $9.50. Rewards. What comes to our mind? Last study that we had, we have this account of this rich young ruler, a very religious man, just like any of us. And as I've said, he would fit into today's church very well. He's well-behaved, he conducts himself, he speaks, he uses all the right words. And if he comes here today, he will be able to fit right into our midst. And he asked Jesus, how do I get to heaven? How do I get to heaven? And Jesus answered him, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Verse 22 tells us, when a young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. We saw that Jesus told him exactly how he can go to heaven because that's what he wanted to know. And today, each and everyone sitting here, we want to go to heaven. We want to spend time in heaven with God. But the question is how? And Jesus saw into this heart of this young man that there was this obstacle, this thing that's obstructing him, this thing that is standing in the way between him and heaven, and that is his riches. And today, we have to ask ourselves, is there an obstacle that's standing between us and God? Sometimes it may not be money. Sometimes it can be a relationship, something that you treasure more than God. Sometimes it can even be a hurt that you've been carrying all these years, that you've been so angry with some people, and you say, man, I will never want to step into the church again, much less have anything to do with the Bible. It could be a hurt. It could be your ambition. And today we're going to see how Jesus is going to teach his disciples some very important truths. And I hope that you'll be taking notes because it's going to be helpful for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that this morning again, we have the privilege of coming before you into your presence. And we ask that, Lord, as we open your word, we ask that you will speak to us and lead us into your truth. We thank you again because in your word, we can find directions. In your word, we can find stability. In your word, we can find the answers to our lives. And for that, we are so thankful. So help us to be attentive and to be, not just to be hearers of your word, but wanting to obey you. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 19, and today we continue on with 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, remember, Jesus is now teaching his disciples from this encounter. He said, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. truth number one, that heaven will be filled with people who are surrendered to the will of God. Heaven is not filled with people whom we thought, or we have always been thinking, that these are people who deserve to go to heaven. But Jesus is telling us one very hard truth today, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. What is in our minds today? As we look around, there are many people on the streets. If you were to ask them, are you going to heaven? They say yes. And you ask them, how do you know? Why would you qualify for heaven? And you know what? Do you know what will be the answers? It will be a wide range of answers. It will be answers like, well, you know, I've lived a good life. And, you know, I've never harmed another soul. And I've given a lot of money to charity. And I've always been very patient. I've never said any bad words, or I've never had any bad thoughts crossing my mind. And Jesus has to correct this understanding, because it is wrong. Because even today, many of us have this wrong thinking that because a person is rich, that is why, and it is an evidence, it's a proof that God's blessings is on this person. He is a good person. That's why he is rich. Has that ever crossed your mind? When we look at people who are successful, and the tendency is for us to think that, well, he's walking right with God. That is why God is blessing him. And that is the wrong truth. And what is Jesus really saying? Jesus is not telling us that only poor people can get to heaven. He's not saying that. And he's not saying that rich people will never get to heaven. No, Jesus is not saying that. Today in heaven we'll find a lot of rich people. Abraham was very rich. Job was very rich. David was very rich. King David, King Solomon, they were all very rich. And we'll see them in heaven. This is what Jesus is merely saying to us today, is that we need to be careful, to beware. Beware of what? Of the danger of riches. Paul in 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The key word is the love of money. Money to be rich is not a sin. If you think that it is a sin, then give me your money. How many of you have a lot of money and you think it's a sin? It's not a sin to be rich, all right? But it is a big problem for you. It is a danger for you if you start to love money. Because Paul says that it is the beginning, it's the root of all kinds of evil, for which many have strayed. Because of money, you have strayed from the faith in their greediness. And today, we saw how many people have been hurt in so many different ways, whether they have invested in stocks and shares, invested in houses, invested in all kinds of things, and they have now got a big problem on their hands, including myself. All right. So if you have been in shares, you've saw it shrunk by 70%. So if you have 1,000 inside there, today is only $300. Okay. So you multiply that out. Many people have lost a lot of money, and Paul tells us it's because of our greediness. So truth number one, it is the love of money that is the problem. And note here that Jesus says, I tell you the truth. He's telling us the truth. And when he says, I tell you the truth, we have to pay attention, because it is the truth. And it is because the world out there doesn't understand this truth, and they do not share the same view on this truth. And we need to pay attention to what Jesus is saying. And truth never changes. The truth of God doesn't change. Today, you and I, we have in our hands the truth for everything that we ever need in our life, the truth as to how to get to heaven, the truth as to how to be a good husband, a good wife, a good child, and how we can treat people right, how we should live our life as followers of Jesus. And above all, we have the truth as to how to handle money. All right? And some of you may be surprised. The Bible speaks about money more than any other subject. Why? Because that's the thing that really trips us up all the time. We bungle it when it comes to money. And with money, it comes possessions. Possessions. Things that we accumulate throughout life. And we think that when we have enough money, we have a lot of money, things are going well, that's when God is pleased with us. And sometimes we have this false sense of security. I'm going to show you a picture. I do not know whether you recognize her. Her name is Nina Wang, all right? From Hong Kong. She died in 07. She left behind 4.7 billion. And she's separated from the husband. And in the other picture that you see, she's standing there with her boyfriend, who's a fortune teller. And apparently, in her last will, she left everything to him. And now there's a big court case going on. I've not been following this. I don't know whether it's been resolved. But the family is fighting him for the 4.7 billion. How much is 4.7 billion? Wow. You have no clue how much is 4.7 billion. How many zeros are there in it? How many? Sorry? Lydia, tell us. How many zeros are is there in 1 billion? Nine! She got it. Not six. It's nine zeros. All right? And just try to figure that out. And wouldn't you want to be in this woman's shoe for a little while? How many of you would like to walk in her shoes for a little while? Liar. I'm sure some of you in your heart secretly and say, well, I can do, you know, a couple of weeks in her shoes and I wouldn't mind, you know. I'm sure I can live with that. Do you think that with all this wealth in her life, did she find contentment? Did she find true happiness? This is this picture here is not a very flattering picture of her, but it was taken more recent, just before she died. And just before she died, do you think that this question of will I go to heaven, will this question cross her mind? Or is there a heaven? Is there a hell? And how am I going to get there? With all the money that she has in the world, she's the richest woman in all of Asia, the richest woman. Wow. Think for a moment, wouldn't you like to be her? But if you know her life, you would feel sorry for her. The same way we feel sorry for so many other people. There are other names that I could rattle off. Lydia Sum. Who's Lydia Sum? Anybody who knows who's Lydia Sum? Fei Mui, you know, that fat little girl, acted in Singapore for a long time. All right? She died only last year, I think. And she's very rich too. And when she died, was there happiness? How do we know we are going to heaven and how do we find happiness? Verse 24. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. In those days, to the Jews, the camel is the largest animal that they know. And you and I know today that the answer is still no. It's impossible. The answer to that question is no, you cannot. It is because when money attracts us, it kind of gives us this strong desire to want to... the desire to want to accumulate as much as possible in the shortest time possible, and it becomes just so irresistible. We are so caught up in it. Unconsciously, we are. Think for a moment. How many times in our quiet moments we think of how we can upgrade, you know, move into a bigger house, have a bigger car, and we want the latest in our computers, in our laptops. We want the most recent, the best. Isn't that true? And we are all so caught up in this. And Jesus is telling us, be careful, beware of riches. A camel cannot go through the eye of a needle. It is impossible. And why is it so dangerous? Let me just quickly give you three dangers of riches. Why are riches dangerous? Number one, it encourages independence from God. We are independent of God. When you are rich, you are independent of God, isn't it? All right? You don't have to worry about money, because you just go to the ATM, and if you go to some of the big banks, they got special queues for you. Priority banking, no queues, all right? It encourages independence from God, and it gives us a false sense of security, that you're all right, that you're doing good. How many of us experience this in our lives, that when we are serious with God, when we want to walk with Jesus, then everything seems to go wrong? We get more and more troubles, from our workplace to our homes to our neighbors to our families to our parents. Even our parents give us problems, you know, when we want to walk right with God. So it gives us a false sense of security. Listen to what in Revelation 3:17, Jesus speaking to the church in Laodicea, Jesus said, "You say, I'm rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing." And Jesus is saying, "And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." That's what we are when we think that we are rich and we are able to survive on our own. We don't need anybody, not even God. That is what Jesus thinks of us when we are independent of Him. Jesus calls us wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And that's how Jesus and God looks at all the rich men today. We think that, man, they're having the time of their life. They've got all the big yacht and a big bungalow, swimming pools and all that. But really, their lives are wretched, miserable. Why is it that the richest men in the world always end up killing themselves? There's so many instances of the richest men in the world, they will just end their own lives, because there's nothing else to live for. Alexander the Great, at the age of 32, he conquered the whole known world then. He was the conqueror, the great. That's why we call him the great. And at the age of 32, he cried, because he's got nowhere else to conquer. No one else to conquer. What about your life? What about my life? What is it that gives us satisfaction? Money? That is a dead end. Power? Fame, that is a dead end too. Don't go there. Jesus is saying to us, otherwise you'll be miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Number two, riches tend to cause us to be focused, all our attention and priorities on this earth and our own life. All our energies go into accumulating stuff. Jesus in Matthew 6:21 tells us, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Thirdly, riches tend to make a person, I think the word should be dissatisfied. or unsatisfied. Whatever, you find out, you let me know, all right? But definitely, you will not be satisfied. You will always have this sense of emptiness. And Solomon, who had everything in his life, everything that he ever wanted, Proverbs 23:4 tells us, he says, "Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit." Know when to quit. That is true wisdom. 1 Timothy 6:6 tells us, "Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth." Godliness with contentment. Contentment means enough. But you and I know that enough is never enough, isn't it? All right? Money, no enough. All right? And today, some of us may be looking at our lives, the way we've been spending our lives. Some of us are spending a lot of time at home looking after our children. We could have used that to churn out more money. But let me just encourage you that you will never come to a point in your life when you say, it is enough. A study was once done on moms who stayed at home. And I'm not saying that you must stay at home and you can't work. I'm not saying that. It's just a study that's done on mothers who stayed at home to look after their children. And they calculated how much they would have earned in a year if they had gone to work for the husband. All right? If they stayed at home to cook, to wash the clothes, to iron, and to drive the children around to school, and to do everything, cleaning up at home and all that. All those things, based on commercial rates, they would have earned $138,000 a year. $138,000 a year. Wow. Think about it, moms. How many things you could buy with those $138,000. A new LCD, 54-inch flat-screen TV. Man, it will look nice on your wall, wouldn't it? Be contented. And, you know, so many of our moms have sacrificed their time just to look after us. Even today, I'm so thankful my mom still looks after me. She cooks for me. Well, she doesn't bathe me now, but I can do that myself, you know. But she loves me. And for that, I think all of us should be thankful to our moms who sacrificed so much. Proverbs 31:10 tells us, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She's more precious than rubies. She's more precious than rubies. Verse 25, when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? They were greatly astonished. Why were they astonished? The word astonished means they were surprised. They were amazed. They were shocked. They were shocked because all this while, they had all the wrong thinking that people who are religious will make it to heaven. They thought that those who are rich are people who are favored by God. And Jesus is showing to them that their thinking is wrong, because wealth did not for a moment signify God's favor. Wealth doesn't signify God's favor. And with wealth, it is hard to get into heaven. Truth number two. Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Truth number two. With God, all things are possible. How then can I qualify to go to heaven? What Jesus is saying here is that you and I, we go to heaven only by the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8-9. All of you would have had that in your bag already. You can rattle it off. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. None of us can boast, because it is by the grace of God that we get into heaven. And when Jesus said this to his disciples, that with God all things are possible, they still didn't get it. And Peter butted in and he said to Jesus in verse 27, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? What is it in it for us, Jesus?" And that's the question that all of us are asking today here, isn't it? I mean, you come to church, and the weekdays, you read your Bible, you pray, and you witness. You try to walk after Jesus, follow him. But the question is, what is it? What is it in it for me? What is it there for me to gain from? And that is a very natural question. And Peter wanted quickly to just claim credit, because Jesus is saying to Jesus, "Hey Lord, remember, we have left everything to follow you. Now tell me, what are you going to give me?" And that sometimes is our attitude. What am I going to receive from it? It's a hard question, but it's a real question. It is a fair question that we should ask. And Jesus answered him in verse 28. Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This brings us to the third and the final truth. Followers of Christ always gain more. Followers of Christ always gain more. You have more to gain. And Jesus is stating another truth here. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth." That at the end time, when Jesus Christ comes again, and this Jesus is probably referring to the millennium, the 1,000 years, when he comes again and he rules the earth, Jesus says, "You will sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And here, if Jesus is referring to the nation of Israel and to the Jewish people. And you may ask, "Pastor John, what about us? We are Gentiles, you know. Where do we sit? On the floor? Or outside the door? Or where? Where do you and I sit?" Verse 29, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." And he went on to say, "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Now, that is a line that many of us love to use, but Jesus really is referring to eternal life, because he just finished speaking about eternal life. All right? It's not coming to church first and then you will be last. If you come to church last at about 10:45 when we're about to give the benediction, then you are first. No, you're not first. You're first to come at 10:45. That is true. But we always misquote that, sometimes in jest, in fun. But in reality, Jesus is going to explain this a little bit in the following chapter on about this phrase, "Those who are first will be last, and those who are last will be first." But Jesus is talking to everyone who have left houses, brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake, will receive 100 times. And your question would be, when? When, Pastor John? Or when, Jesus? When is it that I'm going to receive 100 times? And I'm going to point you to a parallel passage in Luke 18, in the same narrative, when Jesus himself replied, and he explained this very clearly. Yes, Jesus replied, and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will be repaid many times over in this life and will have eternal life in the world to come. And the answer to your question is, you will receive the reward from Jesus in this life. But many of us, and I can see in some of your eyes, you're saying, you're joking, right, Pastor John? I mean, look at my life. There's no evidence of this reward. Would you tell me how it works? Or have I been so dumb that I've missed it? Look around you. Just look around you. Jesus said, for those of us who have left houses, brothers, even our fields, our jobs, our friends, those of us who have given up those to follow Jesus, we are rewarded 100 times. And many of us, I don't think all of us can say this, but some of us can say that we are closer to our fellow Christians than our blood brother or sister. And we spend more time and we can get along and we really enjoy each other. We are closer to the people in the church here than our own brothers or sisters at home. And this is one of the gifts of God. Today we have a huge family. And sometimes when you travel, you go to anywhere in the world, when you get into the fellowship of believers, you straight away you are brought into a special environment where you feel at home immediately. I sense that all the time. When I go traveling, I go to anywhere, people will bring me into their homes, and straight away I can experience, I can sense the love of Jesus. And this is what Jesus is speaking about. You will receive blessings beyond your imagination. It could be material, it could be spiritual, but sometimes we just don't look around us. Just look at a person next to you, your spouse, your friends, people whom you really have bonded with and you treasure them. Even our spouses, they are God's greatest gift to us. Say that to your spouse, you're God's greatest gift to us. Come on, turn to the person next to you. If you're sitting next to your spouse, say, you're God's greatest gift to me. Don't be shy. Valentine's Day just passed, you know. All right? Try it. Say it with conviction. And it's true. Even our children, look at our children. Think about our children. The Bible tells us they're God's gift to us. And turn to your kid and tell them, you're God's gift to me. All right. You ought to do that more often. And man, it's amazing what it will do. It will truly bring you closer and closer together. Always affirming each other. Saying positive things and mean it. Say it to your children. Say it to your spouse. And today, some of us looking at our own lives and saying, you know, Pastor John, are you kidding? You know, I've given so much to Jesus. I followed him. I did whatever he said. But, you know, things are just not working out right. And I can tell you that you have the wrong attitude, because when you give up all these things, it is not a sacrifice. To me, it is a privilege to be able to be used by God, to be found in His service. Imagine that, you know, it just blows my mind that the Creator of the universe would want to use me would want to use me to minister to my children, to minister to my neighbors, to minister to my relatives, my friends in school. The creator of the universe would want to use me. Wow, it is such a privilege. And to me, it's never a sacrifice. The only person who has truly sacrificed is Jesus. Jesus himself gave up his life. And you and I, we are to follow in his footsteps, to be willing to give up our lives for the kingdom, because there's nothing that we can keep. Today, you keep accumulating. The new shirt that you have today, 3 months down the road, 3 years down the road, it will be faded, torn, and you will have to throw it away. And it's the same with my life. It will have to pass away. And Jim Elliot himself said, he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep so as to gain what he cannot lose. When we go to heaven, when we are in the presence of our God, the Almighty God, and to be able to enjoy his presence forever, and to have him smile at us and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," that is the kind of joy that you can never lose. Why would you want to hang on to your life? Why would you want to hang on to your material stuff? Look at my car. It's all banged up already. It's only 2 years old. It's all banged up, you know. Everywhere, every side is being banged up. I don't know who, but we won't get into that. We just finished Valentine yesterday. We had a great day yesterday. I brought her to eat some noodles, $3 noodles. Don't, all right? Don't spend your time on money and stuff. Don't invest your life there. Invest your life in souls. Souls that will last for eternity. Souls that would count. That is the thing that we need to invest our life in. And I'm going to close by telling you what you really have lost. And sometimes we think that by following Jesus, there is no reward, no fun at all. It's a load of trouble after trouble after trouble. So Lord, if I were to follow you, what is it in it for me? What can I gain from it? And I hope you listen carefully, and I'll close with this. What is it that you will lose? Let me tell you what you will lose. You will lose your sense of emptiness. You will lose your sense of guilt. You will lose your a life of separation from God. You will lose that. And you will lose the fear of death. That is what you will lose when you follow Jesus. Let me tell you what you will gain when you follow Jesus. You will gain purpose and meaning in life. Even in these difficult times, you will gain a peace of mind, and you will have joy and enthusiasm for your life. You will have excitement each morning when you wake up, because it is a brand new day full of opportunities to live for God. And you will not have to wake up every morning and say, "Ah, man, another day," and then you drag your feet through another lousy day, you know, only to come back to another lousy night and a lousy dinner and crawl into your lousy bed. And next morning, you wake up to another lousy day to go back to office to see the face of your lousy boss. No. When you follow Jesus, you will have enthusiasm to live every day for Jesus. And above all, you will gain eternal life. Eternal life. I don't know what that means to many of you, but Jesus constantly speaks about the greatest gift that you and I have received from him, and that is eternal life. A life that would live on and on and on forever in the presence of God. Don't undervalue that. Don't be so short-sighted to say that life is what comes today, and I only care about what happens today. I can't be bothered about tomorrow. You should be. Because today, and in this present world, there is just no hope. This world will pass away. So will you. So will I. But there is a life that goes on for eternity. Where will you be? And if today you have not made a choice to follow Jesus, I urge you to acknowledge that you're a sinner, because you are. And invite Jesus to come into your life to be your Lord and your Savior. And in all these things, Jesus is actually saying to Peter, Peter, you have made the right choice. You have made the right choice. And today, all of us who are followers of Jesus, Jesus is saying to us, there will be reward. You be assured of it. In this life and in the life to come. And you have made the right choice. And I hope that for those of us who have not been walking close to Jesus, we would determine today to change the way we live our lives, to throw out things that are not important, things that are obstructing us, things that are an obstacle to our walk with Jesus. And you know what those things are. And pick up your Bible, start walking with Jesus again.